This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
This is our first meeting of this new session, and glad to get going here. I'd like to greet everyone who's on the internet listening. Welcome. I hope you enjoy the meeting this morning. I'd like to remind everybody to turn their cell phones off or have them on vibrate. If one happens to go off, there will be a donation that will have to be made to the governor's Habitat Fund. So, you know, if y'all want to set them, we can call everybody and we can get that thing going on the right note. So, you know, if everybody wants that, I'm excited for that. I think that's a great deal. With that, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Dennard excused. Diedrich.
Here.
Goodwin.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Haugard.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
McCleary excused. Peterson.
Here.
Smith excused. Beal?
Here.
Quam?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. We have no minutes to approve. I would like to remind any testifier that they need to sign in at the back. And if you have any handouts, run those through the pages. They will take care of that. And all testimony and questions shall be addressed through the chair. With that, I'd like to introduce the pages. Two of my favorite people in here this morning. This is pretty awesome.
Hi, my name is Kalina Anderson. I'm from Platt, and I am a senior, and I will be going to USD majoring in political science and psychology.
Hi, my name is Emma Hager. I'm a senior in high school, and after I graduate, I will be nannying for my brother and pursuing my interest in photography and Irish dance.
Okay, awesome. That's exciting. Well, glad to have you here this morning. Anyone have any introductions that they would like to make this morning?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, President Beal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Emma Hager, do you have a famous father? Don? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Beal. Okay. With that, we will get right into our bills. First bill is HB 1048, authorize a public body to conduct certain deliberation in an executive or closed meeting. Do we have any proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Tim Reed, District 7. HB 1048 came about from a discussion with a Brookings County Commission member and asking about the ability to go into executive session to talk about security issues. In today's world, there's a lot more discussion that happens around security of buildings, what the processes are, within a government building to manage security, and then also cybersecurity. And so, in today's world, in today's code, you cannot go into executive session to talk about those issues. You're probably pretty aware of that. There are five reasons that you can go into executive session. And so, House Bill 1048 added a new line. And you'll see that on page 2, line 3. And then this will be the sixth item that you can go into executive session. And this would be for any public body. But, of course, what we're talking about here is county commission, city councils, city commission, and school boards. And if you look at line 6, it adds discussing information listed in subdivisions 1-27-1.58 and then also section 17. And those sections are within the code that currently talks about records that are not open to inspection and copying. So that's the code that says these are the items that a member of the public can't walk into city hall or into the county government offices and demand certain paperwork to see, because they are items that are considered either confidential or important to security. And so what it references in the bill, it references that section 8, And it's not too long, so I think I'll just read it. So what this is saying, and anytime you have a deliberation about these items that you see in Section 8, you can do it in executive session. And so if you're talking about, and I'll quote from Section 8, information solely pertaining to protection of the security of the public or private property and persons on or within the public or private property, such as specific unique vulnerability assessments or specific unique response plans, either of which is intended to prevent or mitigate criminal acts, emergency management or response, or public safety. The public disclosure, which would create a substantial likelihood of endangering public safety or property. That's probably the most important line in there. So, you know, there's documents of that, but you also may have to discuss those documents. And if you're endangering public safety or property, it's important to be able to go into executive session. Then it also goes on to say computer or communication network schema, and that would cover cybersecurity issues, which are also very important to local government. Now, let's see, guard schedules, lock combinations, or any blueprints. So any of the discussion of those kind of items. And then also over on Section 17, it talks about response plans. And any emergency or disaster response plans or protocol safeties or security audits or review or lists of emergency or disaster response personnel or material. Any location or listing of weapons or ammunition, so the public doesn't know where those are stored. And that includes nuclear, chemical, or biological agents. Hopefully we don't have any of those. Or other military or law enforcement equipment or personnel. And so this will give the ability for a county commission, a city council, or a school board to go in and discuss those issues in executive session. Now, you can't vote on the issues. You have to come out and vote on the things you're going to do. But it allows them to go in and have deliberations about that so the public doesn't know some of the specifics about, you know, a plan that would happen if there was an active shooter or some issues like that. So I ask for your support for HB 1048 to help cities, counties, and school boards be able to protect themselves. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Reed. Do we have any more proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Will Mortens, and I represent the South Dakota Municipal League. And we thank Representative Reed for bringing this bill, and thank the co-sponsors of it, some of whom are on this committee, for bringing forth what we view as a common sense bill that kind of brings our open meeting laws into congruence with our open records laws. In particular, I think that we're comforted by this bill in that it bootstraps, in that it references that those topics that are already in the open records or open records laws as things that are sensitive, as things that are worthy of confidentiality, there's a public interest in keeping those private. And so, again, I think that to some degree, having it already laid out in that way means that the legislatures that have come before you have already looked at those items. They've already been sharpened down. They don't include things that are extraneous. And so we feel comfortable. We think this, like I say, brings us brings the open meetings laws into record or into line with the open records laws. We hope you support it. We'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Eric Erickson, a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. I think the two previous speakers really kind of covered it. This makes sense. It's an issue the legislature has looked at before, and sadly, these are issues that our county commissions have to discuss from time to time, and it makes sense that they be able to do so in executive session. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Wade Pogany, representing the Associated School Boards, and I, too, am grateful to Representative Reed for bringing this bill. As you know, school boards continuously try to find ways to make sure that their children are protected, and security measures are foremost on our minds. I think that that, as has been stated, the records that are already protected, now putting them into a reason for executive session, gives school boards a very, very clear guide in terms of what we can talk about and what we can't, because the records exemption is already there. I think Section 17 in the records is really clear, and that's probably the one that we would rely on the most, because it's talking about security audits, safety reviews, response plans, protocols. Those are things that we need to talk about. But obviously, we do not want to talk about this in terms of allowing the bad guys to know exactly what's going to happen in terms of response in a school, or what our safety protocols are, or our cybersecurity protocols in that case too. So I'm grateful for the bill. I think it's a good mesh between knowing what is already exempted from public view in the records, and then moving this into executive session. It's a clear balance between the two. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent? If not, we'll move to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Okay, seeing none, we will. There's no reason for a rebuttal, since there is nothing to rebut. So we move on to questions or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jensen.
I'd move to pass.
Second.
Moved by Representative Jensen, seconded by Representative Beal. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair. Serving on the school board for 15 years, there was a number of times when security issues and those kinds of things came up, and I really do appreciate the effort of this bill to protect some of those items, and I'm sure anybody on a city or a county council will appreciate it too.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, any more discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye, opposed no.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Dennard excused. Diedrich.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
McCleary excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Smith excused. Beal.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
10 ayes, 3 excused.
Okay, the vote is 10 to 0. Motion passes. It would, yes.
Like to move consent.
Move consent.
Second.
Seconded. Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion carried. It will be moved consent. Okay, the second bill is House Bill 1054, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the possession of firearms on certain vehicles. Do we have any proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Representative Mary Duval from District 24. And this bill comes to you at the suggestion several months ago from my county sheriff. And he pointed out that when ATVs, off-road vehicles, first started coming out, you straddled them and they had handlebars. And at that time, the legislature said that if you were going to be on one of these vehicles or on a snowmobile on someone else's property and you had a gun, a rifle, it had to be unloaded and in a case. And that's, you know, from safety perspective, is probably a pretty good policy. Since then, however, these vehicles have been modified, and they now have a seat that you can have two people sitting on side by side, and they have a conventional steering wheel. So basically, they're just like a small pickup. Now, the sheriff pointed out that in this case, they probably should be governed as a small pickup for purposes of rifles. You can load a bunch of hunters into the back of a pickup with their shotguns loaded and take them out to go pheasant hunting or whatever, and they can have their shotguns loaded and out of a case. And so the suggestion is that for these vehicles that have a seat where you have people sitting side by side and a conventional steering wheel, that those same restrictions should apply as far as whether or not you need your rifle unloaded, and encased. So that's what this bill does. You'll notice there are two sections because there's very similar language in two parts of the bill. One deals with all-terrain vehicles, off-road vehicles. The other deals with snowmobiles. And the sheriff pointed out that some enterprising people will take the tires off these things and put tracks on instead so you can, you know, motor around through mud or snow or whatever. So that's why there's two sections to this bill, a straightforward bill. And with that, I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any more proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Tony Life. I'm director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. Here to offer department support for House Bill 1054 and to thank Representative Duvall for bringing this legislation forward. As you mentioned, when dealing with snowmobiles and UTVs, or excuse me, ATVs, the safety element is probably the most important factor that comes into the reason that a firearm needs to be unloaded and cased when on those types of motor vehicles. But there's also an element of fair chase when it comes to hunting as a reason to have those guns unloaded and in a case. We do have separate laws and rules out there that govern the use of motor vehicles while hunting. I'll make it clear that those are most important when it comes to regulating the elements of fair chase. But having this law in place that prohibits these types of vehicles that could be run over rough terrain, the types of vehicles that you straddle on a sit with a straddled seat on those motor vehicles, chasing those, potentially chasing wildlife around. It's good to have this additional prohibition in place. However, as Representative Duvall described, these UTVs are much more similar to a motor vehicle than they are to these motorcycles, snowmobiles, or UTVs, again, where you straddle the seat, and it's made for a little bit more rougher terrain. And with that, the department does support the change because of the utility of these vehicles to be able to transport hunters around, hunting parties want to transport blockers around to the one side of the field that may not be suitable for motor vehicle travel, but it would be suitable for these types of vehicles. So with that, stand by for any questions, but I'm sure that you know that the department is in full support of House Bill 1054.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Live. Any further proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman, committee members, Stacey Ackerman, Executive Director for the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. The two previous speakers have taken all my talking points. Just wanted to come before you and let you know that last fall, the sheriff who asked Representative Duvall to bring the bill did come before before us, and we gave our unanimous support. I'll stand by for questions.
Okay, thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent? If not, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Okay, seeing none, there is no need for any rebuttal. I will move on to committee questions and or action. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for anybody who wants to take a crack at answering it, and it's more of a compliance question than anything, because I agree with the concept of the bill. But the question is, what does it mean to have low pressure tires? Is that defined somewhere? Is there an industry standard on low pressure tires? I just want to make sure that when somebody in the public reads this law, that they know that they're either in compliance or not in compliance.
Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Representative.
Representative Hansen, this is a language that was suggested to me, so can I go back to the author and get back to you later with that answer? Because I don't know. I could speculate, but that could be risky. So,
any further questions? Any action?
Mr. Chair.
President Jensen.
I think I would add, I think low-pressure tires mean not for highway use, typically.
That's as good an answer as I could expect to come up with, too. So,
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Representative.
I recommend do pass.
Representative Goodwin made a motion do pass. Is there a second? Who seconded? Seconded by Representative Peterson. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Dennard excused. Diedrich.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
McCleary excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Smith excused. Beal.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
10 ayes, 3 excused.
Motion passes. Representative Gosch.
Move to consent, sir.
Move consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Haugard. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried is move consent. Okay, we'll move on to our final bill, Senate Bill 26, an act to clarify certain provisions regarding the regulation of limited gaming in Deadwood, South Dakota. Do we have any proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the State Affairs Committee. My name is Craig Sparrow, and I'm the Deputy Executive Secretary for the South Dakota Commission on Gaming. I come before you today as a proponent for Senate Bill 26. Senate Bill 26 clarifies a couple of gaming statutes relating to a change we requested last year during the legislative session. At that time, the Commission requested a new license type called Associated Equipment Manufacturer or Distributor that you approved. While implementing the new license, we identified or we determined that it was unclear whether or not the Commission had the authority to discipline this new license type. We also identified that a related license called the Slot Machine Manufacturer or Distributor's License was being called different things in different sections of the code, which led to some confusion. And finally, it was identified that applicants for a distributor's license were not required to meet the same qualifications as other applicants with respect to the conduct, moral character issues. So with that overview, I'll just briefly go through the four sections of the bill. Section 1 just clarifies in the definitions that an associated equipment manufacturer or distributor can also just distribute the products in addition to the other things that are listed. Section 2, which is also in the definition, changes the title from slot machine manufacturer to slot machine manufacturer or distributor, the term used elsewhere in the gaming code. It also adds distributor to the definition so that it's clear that if you just distribute slot machines, it falls within this license type. The change in Section 3 is on the second page. And here we add associated equipment manufacturer distributor to the license type that the Commission has the authority to suspend, revoke, or fine the license. This change makes it clear what authority the Gaming Commission has over this license type. And finally, in Section 4, it amends the good moral character requirements to include distributor in the statute. So in summary, Senate Bill 26 cleans up and clarifies a couple of gaming statutes to help avoid confusion in the interpretation of them. Please vote yes on Senate Bill 26, and with that, I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghuesen, the registered lobbyist for the Deadwood Gaming Association. Just here to support Senate Bill 26. Mr. Sparrow met with our organization prior to session starting this year and went through the explanation as to why this bill was being brought, and we support it and encourage your support. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? If not, we will move to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Seeing none, there's no need for rebuttal, so we move on to committee question and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
President Diedrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a good cleanup bill. It clarifies the authority to discipline, and we have a well-run gaming commission in South Dakota, a model for it during its existence. I move approval.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Hansen. Any discussion on that? Okay.
Seeing none, the secretary will call the roll. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Dennard excused. Diedrich.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
McCleary excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Smith excused. Beal.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
10 ayes, 3 excused.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gosch.
Move consent.
Motion to move consent. Is there a second?
I second.
Seconded by Representative Goodwin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. We move consent. With that, that concludes the three bills that we have today. There are three bills that I have been given that we need to move for the governor to get them in the system. The first one is an act to authorize temporary appointments to the State Government Accountability Board. The second one is an act to revise certain provisions regarding assessments for children receiving alternative instruction. And the third is an act to require students to take a civics test before graduating from high school. So with those, we need a motion to introduce these on behalf of the governor. Moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Gosch. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. They will be delivered to the front desk and get put in the system. Thank you. Is there anything else that we need to discuss this morning? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
Representative Goodwin moved to adjourn, seconded by Representative Beal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.